This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nick Kosmider covers the Nuggets for The Athletic in Denver, and he was at the game tonight against the Nets in Brooklyn. How's it going, Nick?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. So, tell me about the game tonight. We had, like, our TVs all went out because of the storm. Obviously, you saw it was pouring in Brooklyn, too, probably. What happened tonight in that game? It seemed like it was a good game.
Yeah, that rain was starting to come down just before I went into the building. But, the Nuggets came out firing. I mean, they had gotten killed in Detroit two nights earlier. So they came out with a good pace, built up a big early lead. But then they just let go of the rope defensively. And that's been – the last two games has been a real problem for them. They gave up 129 and then 135 tonight to the Nets. So as much progress as the Nuggets have made this year, again, second place in the Western Conference, huge turnaround. If they can't get that fixed, what they did tonight, and get that turned back the other way, I think we could see a slide from this team. So they go to Philadelphia Friday. That's not going to be any easy task in terms of trying to get back on track, but that's the task ahead of them.
So you saw D'Angelo Russell tonight lit it up. How about that guy, 27 and 11 dimes in that game?
He was excellent. You know, and D'Angelo Russell, you know, Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, talked about that before the game. It's a great example of, you know, a lot of times in this league, whether it's, you know, fans, media, you know, maybe even coaches or front offices are quick to kind of, you know, put labels on a guy or just sort of decide where he's going to be. And, you know, it's a credit to Russell, man, that he's been able to, you know, continue to get better, put himself in position to become an all-star this year. And he certainly played like that. The Nuggets had no answers for him. I mean, they gave up 19 threes to the Nets tonight, so they didn't really have answer for anybody. But D'Angelo Russell was, you know, the second time I've seen him play in person this year, and he's as good as advertised right now.
So tell me about when they got Barton back into their lineup, Will Barton.
Yeah, so obviously he went out second game of the year, October 20th with that groin injury, had to have surgery, was out about 3 months, and they just got him back kind of, you know, toward the end of January. So he hasn't been back that long. Maybe about six or seven games, and it's been a slow progress. I mean, the Nuggets have only played with their opening night starting lineup for for a game and a half, because once Barton got back, you know, you had Gary Harris was hurt for a while, Jamal Murray was hurt, now Paul Millsap is hurt. So they just really, it's been interesting. As good as the season has been, they've done it without having the original lineup that they intended basically at all. So it's been a slow comeback for Barton. He had 20 points, had a real good night in a huge win over Minnesota back on Saturday night. But last two games, he's really struggled, and they're going to need him to get going, because you know, they don't have as much small forward depth as they do at some other positions. So they're going to really need him to get back to his form from, you know, when the season started.
Nick Kosmider from The Athletic in Denver with us on the bench. Trey Lyles had a really good game tonight. You know, more than he usually does. He was hitting from the floor, from the line. He hit a couple of threes. He had some boards. He had a steal, had a dime. I mean, that's a good game from him. What is he in, about year three now?
This is his fourth season. So he, 2 years in Utah, then got traded to the Denver in the summer of 2017 during the deal that eventually netted Utah Donovan Mitchell. So, certainly the Nuggets did not come out on the right end of that one. But Lyles has been kind of up and down this year. I mean, he had a really strong start to the season, but just really has had a bad dip from the three-point range. And when you're a stretch four in this league, as you know, that's something you have to be able to consistently do is shoot the ball. And sometimes for him, if he's not shooting, it's hard for him to find other ways to contribute. But the last couple games, he's been a silver lining because, again, they haven't played well, particularly defensively. But he also had a nice night in Detroit. So the hope for Denver is that this is the start of something with him, where he's going to continue to give them consistent effort, because, you know, they're going to have everybody clicking in order to do any kind of real damage in the playoffs.
How about Monty Morris? He's a guy that's about a 10 a game pop. And then tonight he had a big game. He had 18. And in like the last couple of weeks, he's been averaging around 14. And in February, even more than that. Where the hell, I know he's out of Iowa State, but where did this come from where he's starting to explode and score all these buckets?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a hell of a story. I mean, again, this guy was the first 51st pick in the second round. Played on a two-way contract last year. It was mostly in Rio Grande, Texas, right on the Mexican border, playing basketball. And nobody was really sure like what he was gonna do this year. You know, they signed him. Really, the thought was that he would be the third point guard because they thought Isaiah Thomas, who they signed in July, would be back. You know, maybe around November, December. He's still not back, and Monte Morris has just been excellent. You mentioned it. Last six games, he scored at least 17 points in every single one of them. And people look at Monte Morris and say, this is a guy who handles the ball. He doesn't make mistakes. He's a great facilitator. But it's underrated how well he does at scoring the basketball. A guy who's shooting as well as he ever has had, even in college, and then has a great in-between game, can score off the floater, gets to the rim. He's been a huge, pleasant surprise for the Nuggets. And is a big part of their success this year.
And, you know, Malik Beasley, the same kind of thing. This guy's in his second year, whatever, and he's been going off. Like, in just these few games here in February, he's been lighting it up for over 20-some a game. And then I think he had 17 tonight. He hit three downtown shots. I mean, you can't deny that some of these no-name guys that no one's ever heard of are lighting it up.
Yeah, that's such a huge part of their success this year. Malik Beasley, just the other night, in a huge win against the Rockets, who the Nuggets had lost to nine straight times. Malik Beasley comes out and scores a career-high 35 points. He was excellent, and it's really an opportunity with him. I mean, first 2 years, he really didn't get off the bench a whole lot. This year, he's gotten thrust into a big role. Injuries have played a part in that, but he has totally taken advantage of his opportunity and has been a really indispensable member of that rotation. So, I talked to staff around the team and others around the league who think that this stretch he's on is sustainable because he has such a clean shot. His athleticism does him so many favors. So, you know, you look at that backcourt, they have some real assets there. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that going forward.
So, Nick, tell me about Murray. He's playing with didn't he roll his ankle or something? And then he still was able to hit for 19 in this game tonight. His average is about 18 and a half. Is he playing on a bum ankle or something?
Yeah, this was his first game back tonight after missing six in a row. So he had been out, and before that, his first two seasons, he only missed one game during that entire time, and that was because of concussion. So him missing time is something very new for him. It was rare. It was really hard for him to deal with. He came back tonight. I thought that he looked pretty good, especially second half. He really kind of started to get it going, helped them sort of stage a comeback. They were down by as many as 21 and got it to single digits or close to single. Yeah, they got it to within five. So. I thought 19 points, 11 assists for his first game back after missing six was a nice sign for them because he's probably their second best player behind Nikola Jokic. And so they definitely needed him back. And I think he'll just continue to kind of get back into rhythm going forward here until the All-Star break.
Nick Kazmider with us from The Athletic in Denver. How about Mason Plumlee? The guy never has a game like he had tonight. I mean, he dropped 24. He had six boards, three swats, a steal. I know I think he fouled out, but that's incredible. 24 from him. He's a 7-point guy. He never lights it up like that.
No, his previous season high was 17 points. He almost had that in the first quarter. He was the reason Denver got out to that early lead that I talked about earlier. They got up by, I believe, 14 points in the first quarter. He was everywhere. His energy was fantastic. And I talked to him in the locker room after the game. And, you know, obviously he was drafted here by Brooklyn, Mason Plumlee was. And, they traded him after two seasons. So traded him to Portland. So he's, I think, every time he gets to face the Nets, I've heard him say it before, it's something that he really gets up for. And 24 points was a season high. It was only three off of a career high. So he was excellent tonight. Mason Plumlee, he's another guy who he could start at center for a lot of teams. Obviously the Nuggets have, you know, arguably the second, you know, first or second best center in the NBA, and Nikola Jokic. So he plays behind him, but started tonight with Paul Millsap injured and certainly made the most of it.
So, I mean, Jokic is a freak. The guy's been everything for them. He's averaging 20 a game. He had 25 tonight, 14 rips, 10 dimes, a triple-double, a block shot, a steal. He's a freak. When they have this team, the way they have it, he's the star, obviously, if you ask me. And the way he passes, it reminds me of Sabonis. The guy can really dish it. Do you anticipate him doing anything by tomorrow, or do they love this team the way it is?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think my gut tells me, and sort of just kind of hearing things around here, is I think the most likely scenario is that the Nuggets stand pat. You know, mentioned as we've gone through this here in this interview, we've talked about the depth that they have at all these different positions. There might be a time where you can kind of consolidate some of that to try to go out and get a star player. But I think that's probably more of a thing they look at in the off season. I think right now with how well they're doing, you know, this is the unit I think they want to ride with to the playoffs, and then kind of go from there, see what you can do in free agency, and then maybe make a trade going forward into the off season. But again, I think the most likely scenario for the Nuggets is they stand pat. You know, that they could add maybe a guy in the buyout market after the trade deadline has passed, somebody who could give you a little more depth, particularly on the defensive end. But I don't expect any big splashes from the Nuggets tomorrow.
I mean, I think the Nuggets and Bucks have the best home records in the NBA. And, I mean, you win in your division like nobody's business. You win in the conference. Overall, you just flat out win, and you know you score a lot. Do you think they're good enough to do damage in the Western Conference playoffs? Are they legit? Are they for real? Or will, if they face the Warriors, will they get their ass beat?
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question, because this is a group that none of them have really been in that postseason fire just yet. You know, Paul Millsap has been to some playoffs with the Hawks, but the main core of this team, guys like Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris, none of these guys have been in the playoffs yet. So, again, you never know how a young team is going to react that first time that they get a taste of the playoff action. So that's going to be the biggest wild card in all this, is how they handle it when they get there. That being said, if they are able to hold on to the number two seed that they have right now, I think you give yourself a chance, you know, to get favorable matchups. I mean, they play the Thunder really well. They play the Trailblazers really well. You know, the Spurs, they've done a pretty good job with. So if they're able to get a matchup to where they can avoid Houston, the team that really gives them problems, until, you know, maybe avoid Houston and then not have to play Golden State till the Western Conference Finals, I think that's their ceiling. I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals if it all falls right for them. They're not ready to beat Golden State just yet. You know, maybe going forward, but they're among a large group of teams in this league that just aren't there, don't have the firepower to contend with Golden State. But if they win a series or two and really start to rise, I think that would really put a cap on a special season.
Well, how do they do when they play the Warriors?
They're 1-1 this year, so they beat the Warriors first time. And going back over the last 3 years or so, the Nuggets are a team that has played the Warriors pretty well. I think they have about a 500 record against Golden State in the regular season over the last 3 years. So they match up pretty well, you know, just because of the way their playing style, and they can get up and down with Golden State pretty well. But again, in the playoff setting, it's a completely different thing. And they played Golden State a couple weeks ago at home, and this was when Denver was actually in first place. Golden State was a half game back, and there was a lot of talk about how well Denver was doing. Golden State, I think, kind of took some of that personally, came out and scored 51 points in the first quarter on the way to a rout. So when Golden State gets up for you, they can turn it on, and the Nuggets aren't quite there yet. But again, this has been a special season with a lot of basketball still to go.
Wow, great stuff. Yeah, that game they lost 142-111. They got blown out. Nick, great stuff tonight on the Nuggets. Good luck the rest of the way on the road trip. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Nick Kosmider from The Athletic in Denver.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.